Hello, this is Dr. Lisa Hurt, and this is Simply Spiritual Solutions Radio. You can reach me by going to simplyspiritualsolutions.com or Dr. Lisa Hurt, that's H-U-R-T-T with two T's, .com. As all of you know, I'm basically a metaphysician. I was raised Catholic, and after a near-death experience, I became way more metaphysical than I'd ever thought. And usually I have mainly spiritual guests on my show. I'm also a PhD in counseling, and so I have, different people all the time on the show, as you know. Today I have a very special guest, and his name is Daniel Johnson. And Daniel is a member of the LDS Church, and which is also known as the Mormon Latter-day Saints. Is that correct?
It's actually the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
That's the name of the church. And, of course, most people call us Mormons.
Okay. Well, I know there's differences. So, anyway, I'm really excited to have him on the show today. He is an author of a new book. It's called An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica. And he's getting out there promoting the book. But also, what is really neat about Daniel is he also likes to talk about the paranormal in a religious background versus a spiritual or psychic type background. So, Daniel, without further hesitation, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on here. This is a great opportunity.
And so as I got your information, basically you've done missionary work all over the place. It seems like a lot in Mexico, Guatemala, places like that.
Well, not exactly. I actually was a missionary, a Mormon missionary. You know, the two guys you see walking around with white shirts and ties and name tags.
Yes.
I was one of those many years ago in Argentina.
Okay. Okay.
So I lived in for 2 years in Argentina as a missionary. The other trips I've done have just been for my own personal interest. In Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and other places have been to study Mesoamerican sites and Mayan culture. That's just been for me.
Oh, that's neat. That is a very interesting topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, especially, we're reaching 2012 and we all know what the Mayan calendar says, and there are people that are really worried that it's doomsday.
But actually, if you knew what it really said, you wouldn't be that worried.
That's exactly what I'm hoping that you'll explain to us. And
okay.
So that would just be one of many things. And also, we've got a presidential candidate that is also from the LDS Church as well.
That's right.
And, there's a lot of people out there that don't know a lot about Mormon or Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints churches. They have ideas of the people in Utah, and we know that the LDS is not that particular group. The ones five or six wives.
There's one main group, and there are a bunch of weirdos, as I might say. But, sometimes it's hard to distinguish fact from fiction.
Yes, exactly. Well, I have to say, I've watched the movie, or the show, which most people have, Big Love, when it was on HBO. And the only thing I always thought was, gee, I wish I had a couple extra wives, one to do the dishes and one to clean the house. But anyway, being silly.
As someone who has just one wife, I haven't really ever wished for another.
My husband says the same thing, believe it
there
or not.
You go.
Oh, okay. So please tell us a little bit about your work and also a little bit about the church and the way your work and the missionary work and the fact that you also are into the Mesoamerican cultures, just let us hear it just as if we're having lunch. Let me get to know you.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff all together.
Yeah.
A lot of topics. First of all, just in case anyone is curious, for work, I'm actually a digital artist and a teacher.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm glad that you let me know that. That's good to know. And so what do you teach?
I teach computer graphics and digital art courses.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems over my head because my radio program is as techie as I get, but I know there's probably a lot of people out there that could use that help.
Yeah, it's a lot of people do it for even just for personal enjoyment, working on their own projects or fixing photos. And of course, there's a good deal of it that goes on in a professional sense all around us. I mean, pretty much all visual stuff now is digital. I teach that kind of thing. I do that kind of work. I'm an illustrator, so I like to paint pictures and make all kinds of cool things. The difference is I use computers to do it instead of pen and paper brushes, which I used to use.
Oh, very, very nice. It's nice to be able to have an art outlet in the computer world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use it just as another tool. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of how things worked out for me. And then I've kind of about 12 years ago, I just sort of fell into the idea of teaching. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've enjoyed doing quite a bit. I guess perhaps you could say that my first experience with that started as a missionary. I did a lot of teaching in those 2 years and just learned, of course, I was in another language, but I learned a lot about talking with people and how to present an idea and how to find out what they're thinking and bring us together. Many young men in the church who choose to serve missions leave at the age of 19. And so that's what I did. At the age of 19, I became a missionary and went to Argentina. That's actually where I was sent. Didn't choose to go there.
Oh, okay. So they actually decide for you where you go.
That's right. And so it's in the Mormon culture, that's kind of a big thing for a young man and also for a young woman who decides to go on a mission. But, you know, getting that call and it's going to tell you where you're going and mm-hmm. you really don't have much of an idea beforehand mm-hmm. of what it might be.
Yes, exactly. And one thing I do know is that the Mormon church is probably the only one that has some metaphysical qualities to it. I know that metaphysics kind of started with Mormonism, and maybe that's the other group and not you. I don't know.
We'll see. You might be talking a little bit over my head right there, but we'll see what we can figure out.
Okay, great. So the paranormal. Let's talk about that from a religious standpoint. How are those things factored in for you?
Well, a couple of things. One is there's me personally, my personal interest and experiences and views, and then there is the doctrine and the beliefs of my church.
Okay.
The sort of Mormon doctrine.
Okay.
And one thing I think is kind of fascinating is that it seems to me that. From a traditional Christian point of view, and we do consider ourselves Christians, although some Christians don't consider us Christians.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. They don't consider us Christians either, but same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting to be on the losing end of that stick, huh?
Yeah.
However, my experience has been that for much of traditional Christianity, with the ideas of the nature of spirits, the origin, our origins, and especially what happens after we die, and things that would really seem to be of great interest to people, there's not a whole lot there.
Yes.
The Bible is kind of silent on many of those issues, and so many Christian religions have kind of their own different ideas, or some have just, like, not a whole lot of idea at all. Like, well, we just don't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah, and so what answer you get is going to be different depending upon what Christian religion you go to or maybe even what person within that religion.
Okay.
By contrast, we actually have a very specific set of doctrines and beliefs concerning these things. We have additional scripture besides the Bible, mm-hmm. and that's one thing that some Christians don't like. The most well-known of that would be the Book of Mormon, which is why we're called Mormons.
Yes.
For us, that is a book of scripture written by ancient prophets, and we believe that it was written by prophets and people that lived here in the Americas, and that gets kind of a connection to ancient American cultures.
Okay.
But because of that scripture and because of other scriptures that we have, and this would have been starting with Joseph Smith and going on down, we have additional teachings that tell us quite a bit about our connection to God, what our origins are, what a spirit is, what an angel is, what happens when we die. And so we have a very specific set of beliefs that are about all of that. And, you know, whether you accept or believe it or not, it's something I think a lot of people, the questions they have, they're not finding answers in traditional areas.
Yeah, and I will say that, and if you've checked out my website, you know this, I have personally died and came back. Not like Jesus or one of the, but I did, I died and I came back.
And so, a near-death experience.
Yes.
That's what we call it, right?
Yes. And, so I do understand, and I would love to hear this, from your point of view about what happens when we die, because, this interests me and it interests my audience very much.
I can imagine it would. And it's something that these types of things, I was kind of raised on this, back in the 70s, my mother was very interested in these kinds of topics, And so that was just, it was common discussion in our household, and there were books we'd have about it, and, you know, shows we'd watch on TV. So anything like that was a great interest. And so I've as I come at it from that point of view, I see how Mormon theology really mixes in quite well, and I think tends to shed a lot of light on those issues.
Well, wonderful. That awesome. I just start wherever you'd like, and let's hear it.
Okay, that's I'll start somewhere, and we'll see where we go. Again, that's kind of a big topic. But one thing for us, I think, would be the idea of spirit. And there are going to be some ways in which we have some beliefs that are kind of different from standard Christianity or Judeo-Christian viewpoint.
Okay.
One belief we have is that our spirits are eternal. Okay. So our identities, ourselves, whatever we are, did not begin at birth.
No.
Our spirits are eternal and existed before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, interestingly enough, we believe that matter is eternal, that there is no creatio ex nihilo, that you can't, not even God can create matter out of nothing, okay. That matter is organized or disorganized, but that it is also eternal.
Okay.
And so in a traditional kind of Christian view, God is eternal, man is not. God is spirit, man is matter, and there's this gulf or separation between God and man. In the Mormon point of view, there is no separation. Spirit is eternal. Matter is eternal. So where there's a much closer connection to God, that's our view. And we see ourselves as literally God's children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the physical matter of our bodies existed before us. The physical matter of the earth existed before it. And God organized and put that together, did not create out of nothing. In the same way, our spirits existed before our physical birth. And we believe that we are literally spirit children of God, whom we refer to as Heavenly Father.
Okay.
So we believe that literally God is our Father, not in an abstract sense, but in a literal sense. And that we actually lived with God before our births, before the world was created, and something we might call a pre-existence or a pre-mortal existence.
Mm-hmm.
And you could liken that to children living at home. You learn, you grow, but at a certain point, you've got to leave the home and go out on your own and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And that point comes when we are born. And the idea of being born onto this earth into a physical world and getting a physical body, that's an important part, we believe, in our eternal progress. We believe it's just one tiny speck of our existence, which is infinite, but it's a very crucial, important part of that. And so it's the, you know, the school of hard knocks, the school of mortality. It's very, very important. So when we're born, that spirit that we are, we can talk about what a spirit is and that a bit later on.
Sure.
We have some ideas about that. But the spirit enters into the physical body at some point. Obviously before birth, but when that point is, we don't know. If we did, that would solve a lot of questions, people.
Yes.
So the spirit enters into the body. Now, on death, we believe that the spirit leaves the body. And, of course, we know what happens to the body. It stays here on earth. It's, you know, buried or cremated or, you know, sometimes people die in horrible ways. But the spirit and the body separate.
And I totally, 100% from my experience, know that that is true. And you know, it's just a vehicle that's left on our earth that to you know, go
right.
away.
And it seems like there are people like you that have had that experience that really can speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a matter of faith, and for most of us, it is. But if you've had that experience, then you have a little insight, little glimpse in there.
I definitely have faith.
Okay. Yeah. And we believe that faith is a very necessary thing, because when we're born, we talk about a veil being put over our eyes. So we don't recall our life before birth. We don't recall our life with God and the events that happened there and what brought us to this point. And that whenever we die, we pass through another veil. We kind of talk about us going beyond the veil. And so we can't see those who have passed beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Or what happens when, you know, after death. And so again, that for most people is a matter of faith to know that there is something there.
Yes.
So for us, the spirit continues. The spirit does not lose consciousness or anything. It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit is what animates our bodies. It is us. It is our thoughts, our feelings. And in fact, we speak of a spirit body, that it actually, it is matter in some type of sense. And that if you could see a spirit, which some people have, do, that it would look like the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So our spirit leaves the body, and it goes to a place which we call the spirit world. And so there was, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, this term is referred to as Sheol. And in the New Testament, in Greek, it's called Hades.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately enough, a lot of times in English, that gets translated as hell.
Yes.
But that's not what those terms mean in Hebrew or in Greek. They mean the realm of departed spirits, which everyone goes to, good or evil.
Yes.
And so we have a belief that this this spirit world, which we call it, that's what it is, and it's actually here on Earth, so that the spirit in some ways returns to that, and that that's where everyone who has died is going to be. And this is a temporary state. Everyone, looks at death, and most Christian religions have the idea of a resurrection, and some non-Christian religions may have an idea of resurrection as well. The real question is, what happens in between death and resurrection? That's kind of the big question there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of beliefs about that.
Okay, okay. And I just want to remind everyone, this is Dr. Lisa Hurt. You're listening to Simply Spiritual Solutions Radio. And my guest today is Daniel Johnson. He is a member of the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints Church, which is also known as Mormon. And he's giving us a great outlook into how what it's like in life beyond. I mean, there are people like me who know exactly what happened. And then here is a faith that actually, without a shadow of a doubt, they all know where they're going. And I think that is wonderful, because we've got a lot of religions out there, and I respect every religion, but there are a lot of religions out there that think that, everything you do is sending you straight to hell. So anyway, back to Daniel. Daniel, we were talking about, how we are eternal, and that we go to this place that is known as Hades, but it's not as in hell, or even the country of Haiti. I'll let you pick up there.
Okay, yes. And so you were right there that the New Testament term in Greek is Hades. The Old Testament term in Hebrew is Sheol. But we call it the spirit world, because really in Greek and Hebrew, that's what that meant. That means the world where all spirits go, the spirits of all people after they depart from this life, they go there.
Okay.
And so we've got some doctrines and some scriptures that talk about this, and we also have people kind of similar to yourself that have sort of had some experiences, but the idea is that the people that you know and love, ancestors and so forth, that have passed on before, beyond the veil, that they are there, and that they're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this idea that when we do die, when we pass beyond the veil, that from the other side of things, they don't look at it as being such this, drastic, life-altering, scary event that we do here in mortality, because we see a door that we don't see past it.
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps they don't see it as it's kind of thing where if you've done something you're really afraid of and you do it and you think, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So there's sort of the idea that you are met by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that you would know, someone who has passed on, and that you are met. And that this state of living in the spirit world is one where you are free from you're free from the troubles and the pains of life and the difficulties that you might have had there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's one where there is a work that continues to be done, meaning that if there was stuff unfinished in your own personal development, there may be time to continue that. And there is time to sort of seek out and help others who maybe did not know as much as they should have in mortality. They didn't find anything that really helped them out. There is the opportunity to seek them out in this spirit world and help them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one very definite belief we have And this actually comes from a scripture in the Book of Mormon. There's a prophet who's teaching his sons, and he says, I've inquired to know what happens between death and the resurrection, and here's what an angel has told me. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that the spirit that possesses your body when you leave this life, meaning the type of person you are,
yes,
that will have power over you in the life to come. So it's not like you die and all of a sudden you get a clear view of things and you're different and you know you would choose the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Whatever you are, that's who you are in the next life. So that's why it's so important for us to try and, you know, any difficulties, any weaknesses we have here, any things that make us kind of fall short of walking, you know, towards the light,
yes,
that we work on them here while we're alive. Because this life is the time to do that. And so when you die and your spirit leaves your body and is in this spirit world, you're the same person. You have the same desires. You have the same outlook.
Yes.
You don't just change and all of a sudden you see everything and you know everything and you're where you need to be. You're still the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that there is a possibility in this spirit world to repent or to develop or to grow. But it's much more difficult there than if you were in your physical body in the world. That's the time to do it.
Yes.
So our belief is that having a physical body is a great gift of God, and it's an important part for us to learn and do things in. And when you're outside the body, the spirits look upon that as being, they miss being in the body, you know, and so they're awaiting the time that they can be resurrected and return. So our mortal lives here, it's a very important time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
One example of that would be, let's say that someone is addicted to some type of harmful substance.
Sure.
Now, most people know that Mormons, they don't drink, they don't smoke, you know, don't take drugs, which are illegal,
yes,
know, things like that. So imagine someone who is addicted, say, to alcohol,
mm-hmm,
and then, you know, dies, and the spirit leaves the body. That spirit would theoretically, that person would still have that same desire to drink, but as a spirit would not be able to satisfy that desire.
Uh-huh.
So you really could think of that as being in a type of hell.
Okay.
We don't believe in a fire and brimstone hell or anything like that.
And
the hell is a state.
I totally agree with you. I've never studied anything in your religion, but I know from my trip and back that there is, we create our own hell. There's not a devil in a hell waiting for us to burn in.
Exactly. I mean, there's talk about, you know, burning or tormenting a spirit. You know, there's no way to physically do it. Your torment is your own. Your torment is your realization of what you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to say overcome that, you know, that addiction or that desire for alcohol, it's much easier to do that in the physical body when you've got something to work with, where it's not just theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you pass on and your spirit no longer has that body, but you still have those same desires. So that might be one thing to look at it as to, you know, why, you know, what saying we have is we should not procrastinate the day of our repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Live every day, you know, as though you don't know what's going to happen. So you're trying your best to improve yourself, to get rid of bad habits, to, you know, be loving to others. You know, the idea of waiting to do it some other time is, you know, it doesn't always work.
No, and if we all thought like that, there'd be a lot less war on this earth.
I believe that's true.
So, you know, it's amazing just talking with you and some of your beliefs. Mine may skew a little bit, but it's really an interesting, and you guys are very metaphysical. Some of the things that you've mentioned, that is metaphysics. Now, one question I do have for you, okay, when the resurrection comes, can you explain that to us? Because is that like the Bible says, or is that a different state? Is resurrection reincarnating?
Okay, good question. I know that reincarnation is something that has gained, you know, popularity, you know, in more recent history in Western cultures. I think perhaps it could be because it seems like after a certain bit of time, people became really dissatisfied with the answers they were getting from traditional religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of, you know, the 60s and when all of a sudden everyone was disillusioned with the traditional answers and with authority and began looking in other places.
Uh-huh.
And certainly Eastern religions and Eastern philosophies became very very popular at that time.
Yes.
And I think that could be because of perhaps the lack of morals and the lack of true leadership by those who were supposed to be authority figures.
You know,
when the authority figures let you down, you look somewhere else.
Yes.
So we don't believe in a reincarnation. The idea is that this physical life, this carnation we have, or incarnation, not carnation, that's something else. this incarnation, this physical body we're in right now, that's our crucial time. That is the time that God has given us to do the best we can and to perform our labors.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't believe in any reincarnation, like that you get a second chance.
Okay.
At that. Like, okay, you reach a certain point, well, now you'll be reincarnated in another physical body. In some forms of reincarnation, it's all just as different people. In more Eastern forms, you can be reincarnated as an animal or even as a plant, depending upon, you know, how well you did or did not do in this one life.
Yes.
So for us, we don't have that. It's this life is the one time to do it. For people that did not have the opportunity to find the truth they needed, we believe there is the opportunity in this world of spirits, and there are other spirits who are seeking to help them out. One kind of example of that, I think it's always fascinating to see how people imagine life after death or visualize it. And I'm thinking of the movie What Dreams May Come.
One of my favorites.
Yes. And remember, the idea was that, wasn't it his wife had killed herself?
And in the Catholic religion, if you kill yourself, you go to hell. So yes, that's where she thought she was going.
Exactly. And so I think it's interesting that I mean, I don't mean to badmouth any religion.
Oh, no, not at all. I don't believe it now. That's why, yeah. I call myself spiritual versus religious.
But what I'm saying is, in the Catholic religion, there seems to be or have been some very severe, extreme types of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You kill yourself, you're going to hell.
Yes.
Well, but I mean, was the person who killed himself or herself, was he really in his right mind? What, you know, I mean, are there other circumstances we might need to take into effect?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that God, who knows all, you know, is a much more merciful judge in those cases. But anyway.
You and me both.
Yeah, so the idea, of course, is that when the main character dies, he goes looking for his wife, right, to kind of try and rescue her from the state that she's in.
Yes.
And so in that same way, we believe that people who died and didn't have the opportunity they needed in this life, that they can be found by others and taught and have the opportunity to progress out of that.
Okay.
And this is a work that is going on in the spirit world. So resurrection, we believe in, and I think it's the Christian view of resurrection isn't complete and uniform and consistent either. But we have what I would call a very traditional view. We believe in a literal physical resurrection. We believe that the first individual to be resurrected was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that because he was a son of God, because he was our Savior, he sort of started and instituted that process. And so because of him, everyone who has been born on this earth will be resurrected with a physical body, with the same body that they had on earth, but in a perfected, perfect, glorified form.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about in the spirit world is the state between death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we believe that resurrection has happened for some since the time of Christ, but that for the majority of us, the resurrection is still at a future time.
Okay.
But the resurrection will be a real and literal one. And one belief we have, too, is we look at the resurrection almost as an ordinance.
Okay.
Not just as a magical thing that happens, but as an ordinance. And so Jesus Christ, we actually believe that when he died, he went into the spirit world. And you can read about this in, I think, 1st or 2nd Peter in the New Testament. He went into the spirit world and actually began this process of sending those out to sort of rescue the people who had been, as the New Testament says, disobedient in the times of Noah. To help and to teach them.
Yes.
He went to the same spirit world. He didn't go to hell. He went to the spirit world and kind of started this work.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was resurrected, and others have been resurrected after that. But as we said, we kind of look upon that as an ordinance. So in the case of let's say, you know, an entire family has died and they've been buried,
mm-hmm.
that with the resurrection, the father, the husband, would be resurrected first, and then he would be able to resurrect his wife, and then they in turn would be resurrecting their children. And this, of course, is in a future state, you know, something that has not happened yet. But that's kind of how we look at it. But that everyone been born upon the earth, no matter how evil they are, mm-hmm. will receive the physical resurrection.
Okay. Well, again, this is Dr. Lisa Hurt. You're listening to Simply Spiritual Solutions Radio. And my guest today is Daniel Johnson. And he has very interesting takes on in the Mormon faith being the Jesus Christ Latter Day Saints. He has a definite belief and a faith of what happens to us after we die. And right now we were just talking about the resurrection, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Okay, so the resurrection, Daniel, mm-hmm. does that mean that these people are rising and they're going to walk this earth again?
Well, that's a good question. There is kind of a general resurrection which we believe will happen when Jesus Christ returns again. So many Christians do have that as a belief and looking for the return of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we are as well. No one knows when that will be. And of course, we see in the news what happens when people make a prediction.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
That. So in our belief, there are certain things that have not yet happened. So the time is not quite right. Certain things have to happen before Jesus Christ will return. And that when he returns, that will institute a 1,000-year time of peace upon the earth, which we refer to as the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a similar Christian tradition as well.
Okay.
So that is the time that many of these resurrections will be taking place, and that the people who are evil mm-hmm. will be physically destroyed during the second coming of Christ, meaning their spirits will be in this spirit world. And the those who are righteous or good people, and this is not limited to any particular denomination,
yes.
but they will be resurrected during this time. And that those who are, well, not so nice, the more evil people, will actually have to remain in this spirit world, which sometimes we call for them a spirit prison, mm-hmm. until the end of this 1,000-year reign of peace when Christ is upon the earth. And then they will be resurrected at the end of that. So everyone is resurrected eventually, but the worst of us are at the end of that. Mm-hmm. So we believe that good, righteous, honest people will be alive, living on the earth during this 1,000-year time, that there will be no death, and that people who have died previously will be resurrected and living upon the earth. Now, in the traditional Christian view, I know there are a lot that have this idea of, you know, millennial reign of Christ mm-hmm. after a second coming. So ours is very similar. But, of course, there's a traditional idea of heaven and hell. And we don't actually have the idea of heaven and hell. For us, hell is perhaps the state that you're in this spirit world, and it has an end. It's not forever. That you're eventually, those who are being tormented in hell by their own doings, they will be redeemed and be able to leave. One belief that we have that probably separates us out from many other Christian religions is that after this is all said and done, and after this 1,000-year millennial reign of peace, and after a final judgment, we don't believe in heaven or hell. We believe in what are called degrees of glory.
Okay.
And so scriptures for us tell us that there will be three kingdoms, three places provided for people who have lived upon the earth, depending upon what they were willing to accomplish, how closely they wanted to follow God's plan or not. And you really can't divide people into good or bad, heaven or hell. And there's always a question of what happens if you're not quite bad enough for hell but not quite good enough for heaven?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when that get right to that line? So for us, we believe that God has prepared different kingdoms, which we call degrees of glory, and that these will be places designed for people who have lived upon the earth just based on what type of people they were and what they wanted to do. And that everyone will sort of know where they want to go based on just the type of person they are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, you know, defining judgment. You're thrust down to hell, people screaming and don't want to go. They will be going to the place where they feel most comfortable, where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's for us, that is kind of the end goal. And for us, the highest kingdom which one might think of as heaven, we refer to as the celestial kingdom. And of course, celestial does mean heavenly.
Yes.
And we believe that that is the kingdom where God and Jesus Christ will dwell, and we'll be able to live with them and to share with them in the types of work that they do.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this correctly, to be resurrected will not only be like to be resurrected on this earth, but to be where Jesus and God are, be it heaven, the celestial kingdom. What, correct? Is that correct?
Well, everyone will be resurrected, and after the last person has been resurrected, we will all be going to these various kingdoms, depending upon like I say, what type of lives we led upon this earth, and just what type of law we're willing to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, they really want to follow God's law. They really want to do the best they can. Some people don't really care even if there is a God. Mm-hmm. You know, some people actively seem like they try to, you know, fight against what God might want them to do. Mm-hmm. So this, we look upon this as kind of like a final judgment. This is where you'll be. As Latter-day Saints, our goal, our hope, and our hope is for everyone else as well, is to, you know, be heading towards the celestial kingdom, so that we will actually dwell in the what we call the highest degree of glory with God and with Jesus Christ, and actually not just sit on a cloud and play harps and sing praises all eternity, but actually there will be work to do. We'll be able to do the same types of things that God does.
Okay, I like that. And just this is just from my perspective, and of course my perspective changed a lot after my death experience, and I call it death because it was 28 minutes, and then
I imagine it would. Perspective would change with that.
But one of the things I was shown, and I'm working on a second book right now, one of the things I was shown is I want to say Caesar's Palace, but I don't mean in gambling terms, just the building and how it looked, you know, kind of the Roman-looking building. And what I was shown is that I was at the penthouse during my little time, and yet I wasn't in anything. I was in the light. But this is how it's been explained to me since then, is that it's almost like people go to different levels, just like what you're talking about. You're saying different places. Mine was kind of like the people that kill themselves or do something terrible. They end up in the lobby of this hotel, and they're just standing in the lobby. Then there's people that are on different levels. And one of the things that was told to me telepathy-wise while I was on the other side was that I was not to take my own life when I came back, because things would be harder than they had been. And I took that to heart. They just told me, you won't come to the same place you went to now, but that hell is in our mind and on our earth. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's a fascinating analogy, the idea about being in the lobby or being, you know, there.
On the second floor of the penthouse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Jesus did tell his disciples that in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
And so our belief is that, you know, there is a place prepared for all of us based upon what we are willing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Our belief also is that the very lowest kingdom of glory, and we actually sometimes compare these to the glory of the sun versus the moon versus the stars, mm-hmm. the very lowest kingdom of glory, where even the worst people upon this earth will eventually end up after their resurrection, is so much more beautiful than the earth we have now, the existence we have now, that you know, it's not going to be a bad place at all.
Yeah.
It's just that the higher levels are so much better. That's what we're looking for.
I agree.
Now, I don't often have the opportunity to speak with people who have had this type of near-death experience, and so I'm kind of curious to ask, if I might.
Sure.
When you had this experience, when you were seeing these things, what was your thought on returning back to life? Did you want to return back to life, or did you want to stay where you were?
I wanted to stay, but they told me that it was not my time, and that I had to teach the world that there's nothing to fear in life or in death.
Okay. And it's interesting, you know, how that is such a common story that we hear with people that have this experience, right?
Yeah, well, there's no bills to pay up there.
Yeah, that would make me want to be there right now.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how the experience that you mentioned, is really what almost everyone describes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think of that, in the terms of paranormal, a big thing these days is, you know, hauntings.
Yes.
And there are all kinds of TV shows and people that go out and they do these investigations. And they're sort of sprung up what I almost call modern mythology about ghosts and things, like, why is a place haunted?
And I have a real hard time with that, because I definitely have contact with spirits, but there's not, I don't have any of the haunting energy around me whatsoever, so I have a problem with that. But now, tell me how you guys believe.
Well, let me just, I'm going to give you my personal take on something, and then I'll go into that.
Okay.
My personal take is this. There's this idea that if someone, you know, dies in a violent way, maybe the spirit would remain in a place, or if there's something left undone, or if he was a very strong personality. I kind of doubt that, simply because anytime anyone experiences a near-death experience as you have, mm-hmm. they talk about not wanting to go back. They talk about wanting to stay where they are and to kind of move on. And you got to imagine, most of us, when we die, don't want to die. Most of us have stuff left to do in life. We have loved ones left.
Yeah.
But yet, even with that, people that have this experience, they talk about how, you know, they don't want to go back, and yet they're told they have to. It's not their time.
Yeah.
So if that's true, if that's how it works, I have a hard time believing that when someone dies, that spirit's going to want to kind of stay around and haunt a place rather than
me too.
rather than move on.
Yes.
You know, there's like this relief. Oh, this existence is so beautiful, peaceful now. You know, I'm done with my mortal probation. Mm-hmm. I can move on to something else.
The
idea of a spirit hanging around haunting a certain location, I find that kind of doubtful.
Yeah, and that's exactly, they're happy. I do believe that spirits do come around, especially my father died in 2007, and there was just things that happened that I knew he was around. That didn't mean he wanted to stay here. He was just checking on everybody. Maybe, like you said, maybe the spirit realm was where he was at, and he was checking on everybody on Earth. I don't know I don't know the exact terminology of that. But what I would like everyone to know, since we talked about kind of a tragic death and that kind of thing, mine would have been a very, very, very painful death. I was hit in the head with shrapnel from a boat wreck, and I had my finger ripped off. And none of this wasn't felt. It's as if my friend that was on the boat with me told me that I looked her straight in the eye and said, "Don't let me forget that I'm getting divorced," because actually I was in the middle of a divorce. And it was just seconds later that, and I'm not saying divorce is right or anything like that, but it was just seconds later that happened to me. And there was no pain. There was no pain whatsoever. It was like I was shielded from any of that. And so I like to let people know if they've had someone die in a, you know, in a car wreck or whatever it could be, that no matter how maimed you are, and, you know, God kind of shelters you with that, because I even laid in a hospital bed for another 28 days, and there was, obviously there were some drugs involved with the hospital, but there was no pain and no regret, and I don't fear death at all.
That is great. And so, like, I see, myself, I don't have a fear of death either, but it's mainly a matter of faith and belief in the things that I've learned.
Yes.
You know, for you, I think it's much more practical. I think that is a great message to be able to tell people. I've actually had experiences just very recently where there are some people that I know and live right near have died rather suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
One very suddenly, unexpectedly, one as a result of cancer, but still not quite expected when it came, and
yeah.
They left behind families and young children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of dealing with that right now and trying to help them out. And so any type of message that can be had from, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
from whatever experience that you have, that can help you believe that, I think that's a very good message.
Yeah, and I personally had my best friend since I was 7 years old died last December. And she told me before she was dying, she said, "At least I'm not done. I've got things to do." And I told her, I said, "Nikki, you've obviously done things right, and things are going to be okay." And Nikki did pass on, and of course she left a 9-year-old son and a husband, and, you know, very sad for all of us. But at the same time, she was able to help this woman who at the time had cancer and didn't know how to get help. And Nikki reached out to this woman, and this woman has actually beat cancer and had a bone marrow transplant, and everything happened because Nikki knew how to take care of it. So I think that was one of her miracles on Earth.
But one thing I'd like to say, and this is some of kind of a Mormon perspective on things and some of my own perspective.
Sure.
But that is that, you know, people are born, if you think about the history of the Earth, all over the Earth in different times, different places. Some people live a long time. Some people have very short lives. But no matter what it happens to be, that was kind of designed by God to be the best for that person.
Yes.
Where you were born, when you were born, in what circumstances you were born, that was just kind of designed for you to mm-hmm. be what you would need to learn and do. And whether you have, you know, 100 years on this earth or just a few, you have enough time to do what God has expected you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be judged against what anyone else did. You'll only be judged against what you could have done in that time.
Yes.
So for those who have a shorter amount of time upon this earth, you know, that corresponded to what they needed to do.
Yeah, and I even in a way, it's a sad thing to say in Nikki's family and, of course, me and anyone that was close to her misses her, but I think she kind of won the lottery. She got to go out before she was old and...
That is one point right there.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that's my twisted way of thinking because I've been there, done that. So, so if in fact where I was in the spiritual realm, it's really cool there. And I know I didn't want to come back and it was all light. There was just so much light and so much love. It was wonderful.
And it's fascinating to me too, that from what I've read, I find this to be an interesting thing. I remember, wasn't it first there was a book, Return from Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
That was like kind of the first thing that really was a documentation of all these things and started letting people know about it. And that was back in the 70s or something.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that regardless of the background, the belief, religious background people have, when they have this experience, it's very similar.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I was on Biography Channel's I Survived Beyond and Back. I was one of their guests.
Mm-hmm.
And most, I watch it here now and again, and most everyone has a similar experience. They all have their own twist of the person's belief, but at the same time, it's all the same thing. There's peace and love, and even though I had two teenage daughters at the time, I was, you know, just fine where I was at. and the real me,
people would say, no, I can't. I've got a family to take care of. I've got stuff left undone. But for some reason, when you're there, you feel, okay, this is all right. This is where I'm going to be.
Yeah, and when I did wake up, and the first thing I said was, I couldn't have died. I've got to see my grandkids. And I didn't realize I'd be a grandmother very young, but a few years later, I have 3 grandkids.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that the insights that we can get, and it's also interesting to me sometimes the insights or the viewpoint that children have, because, you know, children, I think, can be very open and accepting to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 children, mm-hmm. and they're all fairly young, but I remember we had just 2 girls, and our older girl, she told my wife, she said, and I can't remember how old she was, she might have been like 6 or something like that, and she said, actually would have to have been like 5 or something. She said, Mom, there's one more. And my wife said, one more what? She said, there's one more kid, and it's a boy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple of years later, we had a son. It was our last child. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, the kids get a little message from beyond, they, you know.
They're the closest thing to innocent we have.
Exactly. That's very true.
Yeah, so I totally believe that. Most definitely. And I've had my own experiences, and this show isn't about me. So I want to remind everybody, this is Dr. Lisa Hurt, and this is Simply Spiritual Solutions Radio. And my guest today is Daniel Johnson. He's giving us a very interesting perspective on life after death, and also some of his own ideas, but mostly it comes from the LDS Church. And I'm just really thrilled to have him here today. And we've discussed the different levels of heaven. They call it the celestial kingdom, but there are different places people go. And it's a very interesting topic. So, Daniel, please take it away and give us some more information.
More information. Okay. Here's something else which I think would kind of separate us from a very traditional kind of Christian view or even Western view.
Mm-hmm.
It was a teaching from Joseph Smith that that spirit is actually a type of matter.
Okay.
So I think for a long time the Western world has had this sort of dichotomy of, you know, spirit and matter are inseparable, they're separable. That, you know, spirit is the higher form, physical matter is evil, and so this idea that God can't be a material thing because material matter is evil. And then, you know, spirit is the good thing. There's even the Gnostic view that mm-hmm. the physical creation was evil and should never have happened. That's that just physical matter by its very nature was evil.
Yeah.
And so that's not our view at all. But our belief is that spirit is a type of matter. But the teaching from Joseph Smith is that it's more refined and pure than the matter we're used to, so we can't really perceive or see it. And so that spirit and matter work together. We believe that before everything was created physically, it was created spiritually. So we were created as spirit bodies before our physical bodies were created. We believe that animals have spirits, and their spirits
I are do too.
We even believe that plants have spirits,
mm-hmm.
that everything has a spirit counterpart.
Yes.
And that this spirit is eternal, and that it actually, in some ways, you know, might be able to be organized in its creation, but that physical matter, of course, can be organized, you know, blown apart and split into atoms and then put back together, but that the spirit is eternal. And so this idea of things being of a spirit nature, for a lot of people, spirit is kind of ethereal and unreal and not really there. For us, the idea of spirit is very real. It's a type of matter. It is real. It's very much there. We believe that, you know, that there is a veil for the most part drawn over our eyes. We can't see into this world of spirit. We can't see what happens when people die,
mm-hmm.
but that it really is there. And that at sometimes the spirit world is allowed to come back and to have an interaction or to give a message. We have accounts of that from our own, you know, personal histories of people in the church or from our own scriptures, that if there is some important message that needs to happen from someone who has passed on, that spirit can return and speak to that person. And in this case, a spirit isn't a shimmery, whispery, ghostly type of image, but it looks like the individual. And you wouldn't know, unless you tried to touch the individual, that he wasn't physically there. There was a spirit.
Yeah.
So we believe the spirit is very real, and that you know, that there can be some contact or some interaction.
Mm-hmm.
I myself have never experienced anything like that. Sometimes I wish I had, but it has not happened. I do believe those things happen, and I'm not really sure when or why or how, other than somehow if it fits into the plan of God. It can happen.
It's happened for me ever since my trip to the Veil and beyond.
Mm-hmm. and it could be for some people they're perhaps more sensitive to that, or for some people there's a reason. One experience I know is that my wife's aunt, so I guess that would be my aunt-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She died a couple of years ago, rather suddenly, of cancer, and the diagnosis to her actual passing away was very quickly. And so her daughter, my wife's cousin, and her husband were driving back to the hospital because they were called and said, you know, she's not doing well, you need to hurry get here. So they're driving to the hospital where she was very quickly. And so we've got, you know, this woman who's my wife's cousin. Her mother is one dying, and so she's with her husband, because so that's his mother-in-law.
Sure.
As they are driving along, trying to get to the hospital, speeding as fast as they can, her husband just felt like that his mother-in-law, my wife's cousin, spoke to him. And
yeah.
Just said, you know, like, you know, take care of everyone. And it was so, I guess, strong that he kind of answered, yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, when they got to the hospital, she'd already passed away.
Uh-huh.
So that was the idea, was that, you know, maybe as she was doing that, she was telling him,
that's,
know,
what
hey,
I would,
going.
That's what I yeah. would assume.
Yeah. And so we believe that type of thing can happen.
I love that. I love the fact that you guys believe that in, you know, your religion has been shadowed. A lot of people don't know a lot about it, but it's interesting, you know, to know that you guys have this outlook about spirit and the fact that they can contact us. Now, on my side, I've seen them both in form, and I have seen the fuzzy thing.
Okay.
But you know, it depends on what they want and how it correlates. But I know that I'm here to ease people's fear. I mean, that I am truly. That's why God sent me back, was because I'm here to teach people that there's nothing to fear in life, and there's nothing to fear in death, and we just need to be the best people we can be.
Right. Yeah. With whatever, you know, whatever knowledge we have, mm-hmm. we'll only be judged against what we have and what we could have done. We'll never be judged against what someone else did.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, for us, it's a very definite thing. We feel a very close connection with family members, in this life and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very right about, you know, our religion being shadowed or people wondering what is we believe or having some strange ideas. I know there are all kinds of strange, you know, ideas out there, and I'm happy to dispel any myths if I can.
Yeah.
But with our doctrines and my beliefs, I think they're very consistent and they're very wonderful. They for me add a great deal of direction and stability in life because they explain so much of what this purpose is, what happened before we came here, why we're here, and what's going to happen afterwards. That just gives people so much more of a grounding in life and less likely to do, you know, stupid things which will hurt themselves or hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, the connection with family is very important. In fact, we actually have very specific practices and beliefs that the family will be together after this life. That, you know, many marriage vows include in them, you know, for as long as you both shall live, or, you know, until death do you part. We believe that marriage and the family relationship and the family unit can exist after this life, after death.
Oh, I believe that too. And that's not from a Catholic perspective or any kind of Christian perspective. That's from my trip.
Yeah. And so we have very specific beliefs and actually practices about that. And a little bit of that goes into Mormon temples. Mm-hmm. And so I know people sometimes have a lot of suspicion and question about what goes on in Mormon temples and why they're there. And, you know, that's something that I could answer a lot about that as well.
Well, that's good. I'm definitely going to have you on another show because this is very, very interesting stuff. And, of course, I want to touch base on your book as well. And we've taken a lot of the time, you know, today talking about something that ended up being something that's very close to me because it's nice to know that there are religions out there that believe the way that I do, even though, I mean, there's similarities and there's differences, don't get me wrong. And but for me and for my listeners, it's nice to know how that all comes to be because the majority of us, we see the people coming down the road and they stop and maybe, well, sometimes it's Jehovah's Witness people, and I know that's nothing to do with your religion, but, you know, we see you out riding the bikes or doing your missionary work, and we really know very little about it. And most people will tell them, you know, we have a religion or whatever. But
yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I've had that a lot.
Yeah, and so this is nice to be able to talk to you and get to know someone that, you know, is really living what his faith is, and I applaud you for that. I really do.
Well, thank you. I've been a gospel doctrine teacher in my congregation for quite a while. And one thing you might want to know about Mormons is that we don't have a paid clergy, so mm-hmm. there's no, you know, priest or minister that makes his living. The person who's over a Mormon congregation is a bishop. He's someone who was called from that congregation. He's got a family and he's got a job. And so all the callings, all the things that we do, it's completely of our own time and will and volition. There's no getting paid for it.
That's nice. That is very. That's the way everything should be. Life should be a lot like that. But
I think so too. And I think that was the original model that Jesus Himself set up. The problem is that, you know, it didn't last. But in my time as a gospel doctrine teacher, there was 1 year where we did just the New Testament, and so obviously a big part of that is teachings of Christ. And I really began to see just how, you know, living a Christ-like discipline is a lot harder than most people think. Many
yes.
people like to think of themselves as Christians or we're a Christian nation, but you know, how many people are really paying attention to what Christ was telling people? It was hard. It's a hard thing to live. Near the end of his life, he began to lose popularity because people said, you know, these things are too hard for us. You know, he told the rich young man, sell everything that you have and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That man went away sad because he was too tied to his riches. So I think that really trying to live a true Christ-like discipline, it takes a lot of work, and I've tried to sort of refocus my life on that. I need to do a lot better, but that's kind of been my thought, that that there are some really deep truths there. Some of them are almost, you know, Zen-like in their complexity, where you really have to ponder them for a long time to figure out what he was saying.
Yeah, and I totally agree that Jesus was our best, you know, was the Savior, but he was the teacher of all of us, and so many That's people right. didn't listen correctly, or they interpreted the Bible how they felt, right? And I've lived in the South, and trust me, there's a lot of people who believe they're going to hell there.
But I'm actually from the South.
Oh, are you?
Yes. Yep.
Well, I was from Oklahoma. Well, I was born up by Petaluma, where you're at, but I spent time in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, those areas.
That counts.
Yeah, and so my memory and one thing I thought I would go to hell for is in all reality I had an abortion when I was 17, and because I didn't want to tell my mother I was pregnant, and I regretted that, and that has been my own hell. And trust me, it was hard, but at the same time, I assumed, you know, when the time came, maybe I wasn't going to go to heaven, and yet the time came, I saw, I'm here to tell people not to worry, and to act, just as you're saying, to act like Christ.
Yeah, now, what we believe, you know, there's some people that, I mean, the idea of hell is a difficult one, and it's been sort of over-applied, I think, in many ways, and so many people kind of go, you know, sort of take an extreme approach and say, well, everything I do is okay, there's no hell. So we believe there is a need to repent. And that's why we're on this life. But one thing is we like to stress, and I like to say, is that the saving grace of Christ is universal. And it's you know, you almost cannot get past it. So mm-hmm. No one should feel that way. No one should feel like they're consigned to hell or that they're lost, because that's just not the case.
No, and I understand that now. And I do know we have to act accordingly. We can't just be all hedonistic and think everything's going to be great.
Right. But the great truth is that that God's love is so great that it is available to all of us, and we can all return to God. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people I think might feel lost, mm-hmm. might feel like that they've gone so far that they can't go back. That's never true. You can always go back.
And my own, I did not ever see a man with a beard, you know, that I would say was God, or what kind of you conjure up when you think of uh-huh. it. But I did see the light I was in was filled with God's love, and I know that God is love, and that's
very true.
Very true. So, well, this has been so nice. Again, this is Simply Spiritual Solutions Radio. I'm Dr. Lisa Hurt, and it's been my pleasure today to have Daniel Johnson on the phone with me. Well, I say on the phone, on the radio.
On the computer.
On the computer, exactly. And we've learned a lot about a religious take on the afterlife, and I even talked a little bit about my own experience, and Lord knows I do enough of that, but Daniel, thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope that we can get back together and do one on your book, and I you know, in the next month or so, I would love to do that.
Okay, that's great. I've actually been doing a lot about that. I've got some other radio shows where I'm doing that. Next month, I'm doing giving a presentation at a conference about some things that are in there. Mm-hmm. Again, it's less stuff of like a spiritual nature and more stuff having to do with the ancient history of Mesoamerica, Mexico, and Guatemala, mm-hmm. how it pertains to a book of scripture, which is kind of unique to us. That would be the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us with archaeology and history and comparisons like that. I find that interesting. But the things we've talked about today, I think are some things that can apply to everyone.
Yeah. And this gets everyone to get to know you. And at the same mm-hmm. time, we'll talk about your work the next time.
Okay. And you know, there's lots of other stuff I can talk about with Mormon beliefs and practices to shed the light there.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be a mystery, you know? Mm-hmm. If you ever wonder what Mormons are all about or what they do, I'm sure everyone knows one. Just ask them. They'd love to tell you.
That's true. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Daniel, and hope to talk with you again soon.
I hope that too, and have a great day, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Okay, and everyone out there, have a wonderful day as well. This is Dr. Lisa Hurt saying goodbye for today.